Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokers Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Everybody, welcome to episode 76 of Literary Disco, Story Songs 2, The Reckoning. So, way back when we were a wee podcast, only 12 episodes
wee
in, our co-host Todd Goldberg convinced Julia and I to do an entire episode on story songs. That's songs where the main purpose is to convey a narrative. And thanks to Todd's choices of Harry Chapin and baseball trivia-based songs, it was an utter disaster. So much so that we are doing it again.
How dare you?
So today is all about story songs once more. I am actor and filmmaker Ryder Strong. Joining me and interrupting me a bunch are essayist and radio personality Julia Pistel and novelist and critic Todd Goldberg. Hi, guys.
I just want to make it clear that those songs that I picked last time are goddamn American classics. They are ripped from the songbook of America.
Well, Harry Chapin, I'll give you. Harry Chapin is, you know, but...
I feel that listeners are going to really need to go back, press pause, go download the other episode, and listen to us yell at each other, because if you guys aren't caught up on this stupid baseball shit, you're not going to make it through this episode.
Well, I think we could just ignore...
I don't know why I agreed to do this a second time.
Yeah, you're not a big story songs person.
I didn't pick any songs about baseball this time.
Like, that shouldn't be an issue. You know what I mean? Like, that shouldn't even be something you need to declare. I avoided baseball. Like, who knows what baseball songs are? Like, the only baseball song worth talking about is Take Me Out to the Ball Game. After that, it's like, and the Charge theme, right? Other than that, there should not be any songs about baseball.
The Charge theme.
That's it. That's the only song about... I don't need lyrics about baseball. It's like...
Well, and I think listeners may be somewhat confused by what a story song actually is, because I went to Twitter. And again, listeners, if there's something on Twitter and you think you're talking to anyone but me, you're not. You're talking to me.
Sometimes
Julie gets on.
If you get a response that says, thanks, that's me.
Right.
If you get a snarky, go fuck yourself response, that's Todd.
Right. If you get no response, that's Ryder.
I do read them. I do read them. I just don't.
Yeah, he does. He does read them. So I went to Twitter and I asked our listeners, I went to Facebook and asked our listeners to give us story songs. And then we created a playlist on Spotify called Literary Disco's Ultimate Guide to the Story Song, of which currently there are 30 followers, which means there's at least 30 very sad people in the world. But people started submitting story songs, and a lot of them actually were songs with plots, and then a lot of them were just songs.
Right. Good songs with good lyrics, maybe, or like, lyric-focused songs, which are not quite the same thing.
Yeah, like, there's one song that I really disliked that someone picked. Hold on. I think it was called Death. It's a 12-minute song called Death, and it's just about a guy dying, and it's just, you know... I get that there's a little bit of a story in Death, but there was not a twist in the plot. But then there's like a U2 song. It's just lyrics. We need a story or a metaphorical realization at the conclusion of the song that, oh my God, we've gone through something. We've existed in something larger. Now,
can I
the
say
other people
something?
That don't understand this are Julia. Julia doesn't know this.
This is going to be a rough night for me because, as I said in the other episode, I'll say it again. When I listen to music, I really barely listen to the words. So this is a struggle for me. I am musically trained. There's songs I've heard thousands of times. I have no idea what they're about. And I think you're really hard. I think your definitions are very narrow.
No, I mean, let's say... Like, a couple people I noticed, or somebody put into our list, a great song by Ray LaMontagne called Jolene. Okay? Now, that's a...
I put that out.
That's not a story song.
Uh-oh.
There is a story with that song.
What? What's the story?
That's
Tell
story.
Me the story.
you know, Jolene's done him wrong.
Yeah, exactly. That's every... So then any song that's a breakup song becomes a story song. That's a premise. There's no...
What about Jolene by Dolly Parton, where she is talking to Jolene?
That's kind of a story song, but really...
Don't take my man.
No, that's dialogue, right? Like, that is a whole story in dialogue, basically.
Which, right.
You could argue... But there is definitely a narrative to that song. Like, we know that there's a love triangle... Or, you know, that there's a woman that is threatening to take her man. That's a little bit more of a story. But, like, I feel like a story song, you have to know exactly what is happening. And there has to be some sort of turn within it that the turn is not emotional. The turn is not word-based or lyrical or metaphorical. The turn is narrative. You know,
an actual plot.
Yeah, there's some kind of plot. I mean, I think that's the strict definition. But then again, there's all these weird... you know, in between songs. Like last time I talked about the Van Morrison song Madam George, which to me is a beautiful, somewhat narrative song, but I can't tell you what it's really about. You know, like I can't say, oh, it's a story of Madam George, this drag queen who did this thing and this one night this happened. But there are moments within the song that are very narrative. And I remember back at the time I said, like, it's not really a good example of a story song, but I wanted to play it anyway just because I love it and I wanted to talk about good lyrics. Really, what we should do is have an episode that's just about great songwriting or great lyrics, because this whole limitation.
That's what a great story song is. That's what these songs should be. Since if they're telling a story and a compelling one, doesn't the writing have to be good? Well, actually, I don't know if that's true, because there's some songs that I like that are story songs that are just horrible songs. Just aren't very good songs at all.
Oh, now you admit it. I mean, I think that, you know. I mean, always our weak spot, and I'm going to throw this out right away, is, you know, like, some of the songs with the strongest stories are country songs,
right.
And none of the three of us are very well versed in that. So, I mean, I immediately thought of a Dixie Chicks song called Earl Had to Die, which is two women plotting the death of this.
It's a
great song.
Mm-hmm. It's a story song.
But, it's like, this happened, then this happened, then this happened. And it's one of the few songs that I know, I think, every word to, even though it's not, like, in my top 10, but it's not like the writing is incredibly sophisticated, but yet by virtue of, you know, the story and the musical writing being so compelling, you know, it's a popular song.
Right. And then there's,
you know what I'm saying? It's not like the lyrics are rich and beautiful and even that thoughtful. It's just,
and that's usually
story.
Right. That's usually the way a story song works. And that's why story songs, and I may have said this on our last episode, but story songs make for bad repeat listening often, you know, because it's like the first time you hear it is when you go, oh, he grew up and his son became just like him and he's ignoring him like he was ignoring his son. And you get that and you go like, ah, that's it. Then you don't really need to hear the song again. Although that one's maybe a bad example because that's a
but
pretty
that, that's
catchy
a,
song.
That song that you're mentioning, Ryder, which is Cats in the Cradle by Harry Chapin, one of the songs about bad parenting that inexplicably was turned into a Super Bowl commercial about good parenting, is also, I think, part of the strange misinterpretation, and maybe this goes back to what Julia is talking about, of what story songs mean. But I think that's why I can listen to them over and over again. So, for instance, I know I've talked on the show a lot about my gigantic love of Jason Isbell, but his album Southeastern, there's a great song called Elephant that I actually didn't pick as one of my story songs this time, but it's about a guy talking to a woman who's dying of cancer. And I have listened to that song pretty much every single day for 2 years. And I don't know why I listen to it constantly other than it's moving and interesting, but every time I listen to it, I get something different out of it. I don't enjoy the song in the, hey, I'm going to tap my foot to this song. And I know my wife doesn't enjoy the song because I play it. And she's like, please, for the love of God,
could we
not hear this woman die of cancer again in our house? But I find it
so
emotionally edifying.
Would you say that, all right, so here's the differentiation I want to make in this genre I feel like you made up that.
No. This is the thing that exists.
What's the difference between a story song and a song that takes place in a scene? So, like, for example, when you said that, I thought of Cat Stevens' Father and Son.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what's great about that song is it's a dialogue and nothing happens, but their exchange of ideas, or actually, you know, their misinterpretation of each other's ideas, is the song. Now, it's not a plot, but it's certainly a scene with two strong characters with strong points of view. So, where does that fall?
I think that is a story song.
Ooh, you have a broad definition of story.
I do.
Then.
I do.
He does. He does.
Well, it depends whether or not I like the song. If I like the song, then I can cram it into my definition of what is good. If I don't like the song, okay. I can then immediately discount it.
Okay.
Well,
this is
going to be interesting because I actually chose two songs that I think almost don't fit my own definition of story songs. I have four songs to present today, and two of which I'm totally picking just because I want to talk about great lyrics, and they're barely story songs. But it's a good songwriter who has done a lot of story songs, so
my
excuse.
Two songs that I want to play, one of them is very clearly a story song, and then one of them might be more like a confessional, but has a story in the middle of it. But I'm sure
let's
you guys...
Let's just dive right in. Who wants to start?
Let's do it.
Let's hear your first one, Ryder. What's your first one?
Well, what I wanted to talk... So what happened last time after we did our story songs episode is I decided to post a collection of my favorite story songs on Facebook. So you can go onto the Literary Disco Facebook page, and I have a list of some of my favorite story songs, and I describe why I like the absolute top favorites. But I think I made a list of like over 20 songs. I decided to just pick two of the ones that I talked about on there that I think are great story songs. And the reason I picked the two of them together is because they are both similar subject matter, but told in completely different tones. So the first one is a song by one of the greatest story songwriters of all time, Mr. Bruce Springsteen. He's a master of writing whole albums that are story song albums. I'm thinking of Nebraska and The Ghost of Tom Joad in particular. And I think he's done more albums like those, but those are the two that I know the best, where he actually tells, you know, he creates narrators, different personas singing these different songs from completely, you know, lives that he couldn't have lived. Like in Ghost of Tom Joad, he sings, you know, from the point of view of migrant workers in California. And I guess apparently researching Ghost of Tom Joad, he actually drove around California on a motorcycle and talked to people and got their stories. But my favorite song, one of my favorite songs of all time.
Can you imagine, though, you're just chilling in your farm?
Yeah,
in Central California, and a guy knocks on the door. Hey, I just had a couple questions for you.
You got any stories?
What you got? Springsteen. That would be disconcerting.
So which Springsteen song am I googling?
So you're gonna. There's a song called "Straight Time." And the reason I picked the two songs I did is because they are both crime story songs. Mm-hmm. They're crime genres. They involve guns. But one is very funny and one is incredibly tragic. The first one by the Bruce Springsteen is called "Straight Time" and is an incredibly tragic song. And it tells the story of a man getting out of prison and trying to live a normal life, but feeling the pressure first from just, you know, not being able to get a job. And then he has an uncle, I think it's his uncle or some guy, who wants him to do a job with him, like an illegal job, and slipping him money. And the most incredible moment of the song comes from he's trying to live this normal life with his wife and his kids. And he has this line that just kills me every time I hear it, where his wife, Mary, of course, because all Bruce Springsteen songs involve somebody named Mary. Right. It says, you know, Mary, I'm tossing my little babies high. Mary smiles, but she watches me always out of the corner of her eye. And it's just this devastating realization that he's never going to be normal because he's been in prison, and he's never going to be able to, no one's going to trust him. And so then the description at the end is him making a sawed off shotgun and doing some awful crime that we don't know what it is. And the final verse of the song is him coming back, and he can't get the smell from his hands, which you assume is the smell of gunpowder from whatever crime he just committed, or maybe it's the smell of blood. And he just goes to sleep. It's incredible. So it's the sort of getting sucked back into crime story song.
Got out of prison back in 86, and I found a wife. Walked the clean and narrow, was trying to stay out and stay alive. Got a job rendering It ain't gonna make me rich. In the darkness before dinner comes, sometimes I can feel it. Got a cold mind, I go trip and cross that thin line. Sick of doing straight time. My uncle's at the evening table, makes his living running hot cars. Slips me $100 bill. Says, Charlie, you best remember who your friends are. Got a cold mind, go trip and cross that thin line. I ain't making straight time. Late years and it feels like you're gonna die. But you get used to anything, sooner or later it just becomes your life. The kitchen floor in the evening, tossing my little baby's high. Mary's smiling but she watching me. Oh, out the corner of her eye. Seems you can't get any more than half free. Step out onto the punt porch, suck the cold air deep inside of me. Got a cold mind, go dripping across that thin line. Second wind straight time. In a basement, ungun and a hacksaw, sip a beer at 13 inches, a barrel drop to the floor. Come home in the evening, can't get the smell from my hands. Lay my head down on the pillow and go drifting off in foreign land.
You know, I think the thing about that song specifically is it actually feels like you're in a noir film.
Right.
You know, it sounds like the music that's playing in the background of a noir
totally.
Film, if that makes sense.
Totally. Yeah, the tone is perfect. And then, and you almost could listen to it. Also, just the chorus is kind of catchy, you know, got a cold mind. And it's like, you could listen to it and not really know that it's a story song and still kind of enjoy it as like nice, you know, soft music. But then when you listen to the lyrics, it's really, there's a whole rich world there that's being created.
And I think like the best fiction does, you know, it's a story about a loser, you know, about this dude who's been released from prison, who's done something bad and now has to go do something bad again just to,
right,
to live.
Just to survive.
But you can take a metaphorical trip in your own life, where aren't we all in some form or fashion just doing time, waiting for Christ to come back? Or is that what happens? Does he come back? What does he do when he gets back? Is he angry? I'm never sure.
He comes back. Yep.
When he comes back, he's mad, right?
Yeah. He's mad.
It depends.
And then some of us are left behind.
Right. In this situation, I would be killed because I'm a Jew.
I don't know. I thought the whole revelation involves like the saving.
Oh, there's the trials. There's all the trials.
Okay.
This is by somebody who I don't really listen to that much, but this is another great story song. And what I like about this song is that, again, it's a crime story, but it's completely fun. And almost funny, and it's a happy song. And I listened to this song for literally years before I realized it was a story song. And that's why I love it, and I wanted to play it. It's by Lyle Lovett, who I don't really listen to that much. But it's Lyle Lovett. It's called L.A. County. And it's just this great, catchy song. But when you listen to it, it's actually the story of a man going to kill the guy who took his wife, I guess, at the end. Yeah, so it starts off with, you know, well, let's just play it and give it a listen.
Yes,
She left Dallas for California with an old friend out of sight. Well, it did not say much, but 1 year later, he'd ask her to be his wife. And the lights of L.A. County, they look like diamonds in the sky. When you're driving through the hours with an old friend at your side. 1 year later, I left Houston with an old friend at my side. Well, it did not say much, but it was a beauty of a coal black 45. And the lights of L.A. County, they look like diamonds. You're driving through the hours with an old friend at your side. And so I drove on all the day long, and I drove on through the night. And I thought of her waiting for to be his blushing bride. And the lights of L.A. like diamonds in the sky. As I drove into the valley with my old friend at my side. And as she stood there at the altar, all dressed in her gown of white, Lord, her face was bright as the stars are shining, like I dreamed of all my life. And they kissed each other, and they turned around, and they saw me standing in the aisle. Well, I did not say much, I just stood there watching as that 45 told them goodbye.
There's nothing better, I think, than a song that concludes with a jilted lover murdering two people on their wedding day.
Isn't it intense?
Yeah.
But it's so funny because the way he does the, you know, he sets it up by saying she left Dallas and she was driving towards L.A. with an old friend by her side. And then he sings about him driving with his old friend. Mm-hmm. And if you miss the next line, which is that my friend didn't say much, it was a cold black 45, you might miss that he's like going there with a gun.
Right.
And it sounds like just a song about going to LA to get the girl. And it's like, it just, and then of course he uses at the end, he says that 45 told him goodbye. Mm-hmm. So it's like all this language to sort of bury the violence of what's happening. And it sounds like this beautiful love song. I mean, even down to like the breakdown moment where all the, you know, drops down to just the strumming guitar and him talking about seeing her on her wedding day. You could, I mean, the first few years that I listened to it.
You know what it reminds me of is that song you picked last time, Julia, about the Johnny Cash song about the guy sitting on death row. And actually, that sort of is like a Johnny Cash song, like a Folsom County blues song.
Yes.
That Lyle Lovett has done there. It's in that similar tone. So, Julia, what do you make of these two, of that murder song?
Well, I mean, I think what's special about story songs is the music has the capability of performing a sarcastic task.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Which it does in this case. It's like the upbeat music is providing a tone that is almost impossible to pull off, you know, with just words. So, I mean, that's fun. That's funny. It's kind of Johnny Cash-y, although I think Johnny Cash is more harsh. You know, that's just in your face. When we talked about 25 minutes to go. I mean, what I love about that is like, there's no bridge, there's no chorus. It's just counting down. Mm-hmm. But I mean, a lot of songs employ music in this way. that makes people completely miss the meaning of the lyrics. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the most famous example being not a story song, but the Police song, I'll Be Watching You, or whatever the mm-hmm. real title is. So, you know, that is supposed to... People think they're geniuses because they're like, it's actually creepy. But that is the meaning of the song. But since it's like written like a love song...
Breath You Take, you mean.
Yes, yeah. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Yes, blanking out. But yeah, since it's written like a love song, people often miss that meaning. And you know, that's really cool, powerful thing. And it really weeds out, you know, who's listening to the words. I mean, I think that song was great. But I also don't think it was as obscured as you think it was, Ryder. I mean, like, I think I would have heard that right away. Or at least I would hope I would.
Are you saying Ryder's a fucking idiot? Are you saying Ryder's dumb?
Yeah, I'm dumb. All right,
Todd, wow. let's get one thing straight.
Look, we've been friends for a long time, but, you know, if you're just going to do it, as the kids say, on blast, you know, just do it.
Todd, wow. You know what? Here's on blast for you, okay? On the story song episodes, Ryder and I are allies and you are the enemy because your criteria makes no sense and you bring sports into it.
Oh, God, so. There's sports in the song I'm going to play. I totally forgot there's a mention of sports in it. But it plays an important role.
All right, let's hear it. Let's get it over with.
But interestingly, this actually goes back to what you were saying a moment ago, Julia, about country music. And I would argue that Ryder's two songs, the Bruce Springsteen song and the Lyle Lovett song, Lyle Lovett specifically is country.
Definitely country.
And that country. Ghost of Tom Joad album by Bruce Springsteen is really rooted in sort of classic Americana music, of which
folk,
you know, Woody Guthrie, all that stuff. The song I'm gonna pick is, I think it's sort of, it's obviously bluegrass inspired. It's a song called Dearly Departed Friend by Old Crow Medicine Show. And I'm not a huge Old Crow Medicine Show fan, or I wasn't, and then I heard this song and I got obsessed with it. This is a song that actually is a full and complete story with lots of different levels to it. And the reason I like it, and then we'll just play it and we can talk about it, is that it's a guy standing at the grave of a friend who's just died, and he's going through the funeral, but he's also going through all of the pain he feels about things related to the death of this person and the reasons that this person has died, which are both personal and social and geopolitical, which I think are pretty cool. So anyway, let's hear Dearly Departed Friend by Old Crow Medicine Show, and then we can talk about it.
The service went the way it should have gone. No one talked too loud or cried too long, except your mama's new boyfriend. He went on and on while they laid you in the ground. Right about then, a truck backfired and all the boys, they flinched their heads. Yeah, that shook me up, I guess. I've been home a month now and I still can't get no rest. I'm standing by the grave of a dearly departed friend. There's nothing much to say except sorry it turned out like it did. 21 guns for 21 years and American flags in the wind. Standing by the grave of a dearly departed friend. Barbecue grills and lawnmowers, kids on four-wheelers and ice cream trucks. Yeah, they buried you on a Saturday. Georgia lost to Tennessee. You would have liked that, I know. Afterwards, we went to old Charlie's. Your mama's boyfriend got drunk, saying it should have been me. I wish it was him, I mean. So I went home, got drunk, and watched the TV. I'm standing by the grave of a dearly departed friend. Nothing much to say except sorry it turned out like it did. 21 guns for 21 years and American flags in the wind. Standing by the grave of a
dearly departed friend. Hey, there's only one road leads out of this town, and it comes right back. So I just drive in circles, circles, and I try not to blow my stack. Out at the mall in the motor mile, it's just as lonesome as I see. Man, the girls round here, the girls round here, they're just as hopeless as they used to be. So go on and tie another yellow ribbon round the old hack berry tree and tamp the dirt down. Y'all go on home now. There ain't nothing here to see. Standing by the grave of a dearly departed friend, with nothing much to say except sorry it turned out like it did. 21 guns for 21 years and American flags in the wind. Standing by the grave of a dearly departed friend, I'm just standing by the grave of a dearly departed friend.
So that's a happy song.
I
never heard that before.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Yes, you ask us a question, Julia.
Are you guys in this, like, deep slash mopey mood 100% of the time? Because
when it comes to my music,
yeah. Yes.
Like, without fail, I listen to depressing, sad music.
Yes.
Like, it's just where I go when I want music. It's... I don't know. I've had that moment where I've tried to make like a happy playlist because like people are coming over, we're having a barbecue, I got to make a happy playlist, and I end up picking songs that have like upbeat chorus, but when you actually listen to lyrics, they're still fucking depressing as hell. Like I don't know what it is about. Yeah, I don't know.
Wendy asks me this a lot. Like, could you play something that doesn't sound like people are whining or on the last living day? And it's frankly quite hard for me to find stuff. But see, a song like that, it's weird. I find myself driving and listening to that song and sort of being, the music is uplifting, like the Lyle Lovett song is.
Mm-hmm.
But then you hear the lyrics, and obviously it's a pretty upset. It's like a Brees DJ Pancake short story.
Yeah, it totally is.
And you know, I find that spiritually edifying. Now, that's not to say I don't listen to, you know, stupid mundane songs on a fairly regular basis, because I do. But if I'm just driving, like if I'm driving from Palm Springs to LA for 2 hours, I put on my Spotify on my phone and I play a playlist and it all sounds pretty much just like that. And then I get to where I am and I cut my wrists and I bleed out everywhere and then I get back in the car and turn around and come home. But that song, you know, I think is a true, accurate story song, because it's going through a full narrative and it has really great subtext. My favorite part is when he says, you know, no one cried too hard, other than your mama's ex-boyfriend or your mama's new boyfriend. And then it gets to the part where it says, you know, he wishes it was him and I do too. Him, I mean, you know, where all of a sudden you realize there's all sorts of other stuff going on in this story that you're not privy to, of this kid who's apparently come back from war just like everyone else has, which is that great line, a car backfired and, you know, everyone got jumped, and that shook me up.
Well, that's what I love. That's my favorite line of the whole, because the first time you hear that, you're like, why are they so jumpy? Mm-hmm. And then, cause you haven't realized that it's a military funeral. And then that comes, you're like, oh God, how many of them are suffering from PTSD? And it's great. Great song. And that is a classic story song. Oof. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end. There's a narrative twist. You know, the revelation that he...
And there's sports.
Yeah, there are sports.
There's sports. So when he says, they buried you on a Saturday, Georgia lost to Tennessee, you would have liked that, I know. That's That's about college football. That's a sports game.
I got that.
So that seems to me like a classic story song, with a plot and twist.
And again, very country-ish. Mm-hmm. So what's the deal? Like, country music is kind of the way it goes. I mean, I mostly listen to folk-based, blues-based music anyway. Not really country-based, but that is interesting. I never thought about it. It has something to do with... I mean, I was thinking about what I listen to music for, and I do. I listen to music for lyrics and emotional performance, and those two things usually are, you know, singer-songwriters in the folk, country, rock tradition. I'm a rockist.
I was going to pick another song, but it's like 7 minutes long, and we don't want to listen to a seven-minute-long song, but it's a song called Carissa by Sunkill Moon, who, if you guys aren't familiar with him, he's also goes by Mark Kozelek. And if you've ever seen the movie Almost Famous, he's the bass player in Almost Famous, who only has one line of dialogue, which is, let's just go get some barbecue. but it's a song about his cousin. It's a true story. It's a song about his cousin going out to take out the garbage, throwing the garbage away, and having an aerosol can explode and immolate her immediately.
What?
Yeah, it's a crazy song. But then it turns out in the middle of the song... that's also how this guy's grandfather died. So two people in his family died taking the garbage out and having an aerosol can blow up and immolate them.
I've never even heard that that's a thing.
Yeah, you know when you like look at a can...
Now I'm never going to throw anything away.
Well, you know, on the back of an aerosol can it says contents.
Every night I'm going to take out the garbage and be terrified that something's going to explode. Be like, Alex, you didn't throw away hairspray, did you?
That's literally what it is. So Jesus. You want to keep aerosol cans empty or otherwise away from flammable objects in your garbage can because you might blow up like Mark Kozelek's family has done. So it's a great song, but it's really long. So Tucker will play a little snippet of it here, but you guys should all go and listen to it on your own.
Oh, Chris, when I first saw you, you were a lovely child. And the last time I saw you, 15 and pregnant and running wild. I remember wondering, could there be a light at the end of your tunnel? But I left Ohio then and pretty much forgotten all about you. I guess you were there some years ago at a family funeral. But you were one of so many relatives I didn't know which one was you. Yesterday morning I woke up to so many 330 area code calls. I called my mom back and she was in tears and asked how to spoke to my father. Carissa burned to death last night in a freak accident fire. In her yard in Brewster, her daughter came home from a party and found her. Same way as my uncle, who was her grandfather. An aerosol can blew up in the trash. Goddamn, what were the odds?
She was just the one song I do want to play is actually a happy song. And I think probably we all know it, and it's not a country song. It's Ice Cube's It Was a Good Day.
I almost put this too.
Which I think is the greatest story song from the gangster rap era. We all know this song. Do we actually need to listen to it? Do we all know this song?
I don't know this
song. Then you should listen to It Was a Good Day by Ice Cube. Break.
Dope, thinking will I live another 24? I got switch, I can make the ass drop. Had to stop at a red light, looking in my mirror, not a jacker in sight. And everything is alright. I got a beat from Kim, and she can fuck all night. Called up the homies and I'm asking y'all, which part are y'all playing basketball? Get me on the court and I'm troubled. Last week fucked around and got a triple-double. Freaking niggas every way like MJ. I can't believe today was a good day.
All right, I think I got the gist. You want to just tell me where it ends up?
The gist is...
I'm so not a hip-hop guy.
The gist is he had an awesome day. He ate breakfast, but he didn't pig out. I love that.
Yep.
Right.
And I haven't seen a blimp since I heard the song without looking up to it and looking at it and thinking, Ice Cube's a pimp. And now there are photos of Ice Cube with the Goodyear blimp. Like, that's a thing now, that he's been around the Goodyear blimp. But it's also a really dark song. It's about, you know, no one got shot today. There wasn't a murder. The cops didn't hassle me. I got to...
Right, he stops at the red light. There's no jackers in sight. You're like, that shouldn't be something that worth noting.
He got to smoke a lot of weed. He got to be standard. Craps. Right. He got paged by a girl that he's been wanting to, and here I quote, dig out since the eighth grade, I believe it is. So, I mean, it is...
A good day.
It was a good day. No barking from the dog. No smog. How have you never heard that song before, Ryder?
Because I don't know. I don't listen to hip-hop at all. Or if I do, like, I don't know. No, I just don't listen to the radio, you know? My exposure to music is clearly from, like, going from one artist to another, that because they are similar sounding or reference... I'm very limited in my music. Like, I fully admit that my music taste is, like, you know, this wide. It's just... It's so narrow. I was holding my hands really close, listeners. I don't, you know, like I said, I need good lyrics. I need good lyrics and I need an emotional performance. And like, you know, I know that sounds like I would like hip hop, but I've just completely missed that bandwagon. But so my musical taste is just super narrow. You know, it's singer songwriter.
Well, and I think gangster rap has sort of gangster rap is a descendant of some of those traditions,
of course.
It's a gangster song, which is not much different than a country western song, except for the racism, you know, and the narco ballads of Mexico and all that stuff, and the highwayman country songs, all that crap. It's all related. But, you know, hip-hop obviously has evolved also from just telling stories to just being, you know, a listing of items, basically. But those are two of my favorite story songs from completely different swaths. Julia, what do you have for us tonight?
Oh, guys, I have a million things. What do you want to make fun of me about? Should we listen to some really dumb songs?
Do you have anything about horses?
About horses.
Yeah, do you have any horse songs?
Well, I've got the Tenacious D song, which is kind of
That is
close.
Not a story song. Tribute is not a story song.
What? It
tribute
absolutely
is not a story song.
How
is not.
Tribute not a story song?
Well, it's not. It's just a listing of things.
No, it is
it's
not.
It's not a story.
Let's listen to it.
Oh, God.
I don't know this song.
This is the greatest and best song in the world. Tribute. Long time ago, me and my brother Kyle here, we was hitchhiking down a long and lonesome road. All of a sudden, there shined a shiny demon in the middle of the road, and he said,
play the best song in the world or I'll eat your soul.
Well, me and Kyle, we looked at each other and we each said, okay, and we played the
first thing that came to our heads just so happened to be the best song in the world. It was the best song in the world. Look into my eyes and it's easy to see. One and one make two, two and one make three. It was destiny. Once every 100,000 years or so, when the sun doth shine and the moon doth glow and the grass doth grow.
You don't have to listen to the whole thing.
That's the thing.
Is okay, that it, so if, I got it.
But it's not a story song because you don't care how it ends.
Well, here's what it's a. I was actually thinking it's a frame song. It's like a. Yeah. There's a story frame, and then the chorus is supposed to be the song that they sing to the devil. Is that? Or the demon
right.
in the road. Okay.
Right.
So it's like a...
But...
It's like a framing device for... So there's a story around a song in a weird meta way.
All right. Let's get something clear here. First of all, a story song isn't just any story song that you guys like. And if you don't like it, it's not a story. Okay?
I don't know. I would disagree.
I feel like that's a pretty good definition.
Pretty directly a story in this song, and I included it because I saw the listener who mentioned it, and I absolutely agree it's dumb, but I feel like there's so much more room for humor in story songs than another kind of song. So, you know, I wanted to put in a couple things that were funny, including also this Usher and R. Kelly song that Todd hates more than anything.
Oh, God, I hate this song.
Which we can sample in a second, but... You know, oh shit, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, the framing. So the framing is, and there's other songs that are great too that I didn't include here that use framing. So, I mean, I think a lot of story songs are good.
Which is just a thing Ryder just made up. So it does not exist.
It does exist, though. Because, hold on, there's a difference, though, between, okay, if the chorus of a song is, if the story of the song of this Tenacious D song, the story is, I'm going to sing you a song. Here's the story behind the song. And then the chorus is just the song, right? Like, that's the idea?
Right.
That's different than using the chorus
to
tell a story.
But why does the chorus have to tell the story? And that's not exactly accurate. The framing of the song is that Tenacious D is telling you the song of them meeting the demon, and they sang this amazing song,
right.
But it can never be recreated. So that's why the song is called Tribute, because the chorus line is, this is not the greatest song in the world, this is a tribute.
Gotcha.
So they're telling you, the listener, the story of them meeting this demon and playing this awesome song that can never be created again.
That is totally
a
story song.
If that isn't a story song,
that is a story
I don't know what is, because they're talking to the listener, telling them what happened. Now, the fact that they're, like, moving around in time is, you know, a sophisticated piece of, you know, reckoning with the way they're unfolding the story, but it doesn't make it less of a story than the country songs that you guys favor, which
That's
is
true.
This happened, then this happened, then this happened, then this happened, the end, I shot myself. That's the story songs you like.
Are you saying that suicide is not a serious topic? Do it?
No, it's not. Yeah, you're right.
There's a really interesting...
Here's my problem with the song, is I don't like it.
Yeah. Well,
that's fine.
You like your music to take itself a little more seriously, right?
Well, that's not true. I mean, there's a song that I've loved since I was a little kid called The Ballad of Irving, the 142nd fastest gun in the West, and it's about a Jewish cowboy. And it's a very funny song. 141 were faster than he, but Irving was looking for 143. Irving.
Oh my God. I've never heard of it.
It's a very funny song.
All right. Let's whip through 20 more seconds of another really dumb song so that Ryder can hear this Usher and R. Kelly song.
Okay. Oh God. So, yes. Let's do that.
Ryder, I'd like you to look up Usher, R. Kelly, Same Girl.
Prepare yourself for an STD also. It's a song about getting an STD.
Yo, Usher.
What up, Kels?
Wanna introduce you to this girl. Think I really love this girl.
Yeah.
Man, she's so fine.
Straight up, though. She stand about 5'4", Coca-Cola red bone.
Damn.
She drive a black Durango, license plate say Angel. Tattoo on her ankle, but she's making pesos. Got a crib on Peace Street, right on 17th Street. And I call her TT.
Wait a minute, hold on, dog. Do she got a kid?
Yep.
She loves some Waffle House.
Yep.
Do she got a beauty mark on the left side of her mouth?
Man.
Went to Georgia Tech.
Yep.
Works for TBS.
Yep.
And I can't believe this chick.
Damn. Tell me what's wrong, dog. What the hell you damning about? I'm your homie, so just say what's on your mind.
Man, I didn't know that you were talking about her.
So, man, you telling me you know her?
Do I know her like a path to know his word?
We messing with the same girl. Same girl.
How could the love of my life and my potential wife be
the same girl?
Same girl.
Same girl.
Man, I can't believe that we've been messing with her.
All right, I've reached the narrative twist. It's the same girl. Okay, do I need to keep listening or do we got it?
See, it turns out...
No, you're good.
What you might not know from the title is that they're messing with the same girl.
Yeah.
They're messing with the same girl.
That, like, auto-tune vocal sound drives me crazy. They're like... It's like, stop! Like, you're not singing. You're talking and then a computer is making it into music. Like, that is so annoying.
The larger issue with Same Girl by R. Kelly and Usher, or whoever the hell, is that who it is, R. Kelly and Usher, is that it's yes. Basically, hey, check it out, you and I are both going to have genital warts in about a week.
You and I have had sex with the same women, therefore, we're wiener cousins, and where I come from, this right here, stronger than family.
It reminds me of, do you guys remember the Michael lesson. Jackson, Paul McCartney song?
The girl's mine? Yes.
Yes. Yeah, it's so similar. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same sort of, right. But that would at least, you know, they talk to each other.
I'm like Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson had the same
They're just
girl.
Hanging out.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. That song, well, that Same Girl song is just, it's a really weird song. And I don't think it's a story. I think it's an anecdote of why you should get married.
Okay. All right. Definitely a story song.
Not a story.
Definitely.
It's just two dudes who realize they're having sex with the same woman.
Which is a story. I mean, that...
Yeah, thank that, you, Ryan.
There's definitely a narrative twist there. Like, the point of listening to the song is not to, like, groove along and listen to somebody express their emotions. The point is to reach that moment where you go, ah, I didn't see that coming, even though you could if you knew the title. But
right.
The idea is that the listener goes... Oh, that's clever. They're, you know, supposed to be singing these, you know, wonderful attributes of a different girl, and it turns out it's the same girl. Like, that there's definitely a narrative twist there.
I think the title is the problem also. I mean, as you just mentioned, Ryder, but I get this with a lot of things. Like, I inexplicably rented the movie Lone Survivor to watch on a plane, and I was like, 15 minutes in, I was like, oh, I guess Mark Wahlberg's gonna live. Yeah, I guess he's... I guess he's the lone survivor because right. He's the star. Huh.
All right. Well, I mean...
I guess escape from which mountain, they're going to get off which mountain, turns out.
So, this is not going any better than last time when I played Lucky by Britney Spears. So, we'll listen to a song I like in a second. But, you know, I just really do want to reiterate that it's okay for songs to be... funny, and obviously Usher and R. Kelly are doing this as like a giant joke, and R. Kelly's done a lot of music like this, so you know, I think it's great, good for them, it's funny, it's fun.
Well, it's also creepy because R. Kelly had sex with a 14-year-old girl and taped it, so
well
that makes it a little
yeah
darker.
yeah it does. Maybe it should be messing with the same woman, definitely adult.
Yeah, that
woman.
Would make it that would make it a little less egregious. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
So what's your next song, Julia?
My last song will be, and you know, it's not very long, so you guys will probably say it's not a story song, but it's a really great song, is To Zion by Lauryn Hill. And the story happens mostly in the first half of the song, so that's all we have to listen
to. This is just the song to her son, right? I remember this song.
Zion.
Thank you. touch my belly, overwhelmed by what I had been chosen to perform. But then an angel came one day, told me to kneel down and pray, for unto me a man child would be born. Oh, this crazy circumstance, I knew his life deserved a chance, but everybody told me to be smart. Look at your career, they said, Lauren, baby, use your head. But instead I chose to use my heart. Now the joy of my world is in Zion. Surely come, see life for you, my prince, has just begun. And I thank you for choosing me to come through on your life to be a beautiful reflection of his grace. See, I know that a gift so great is only one God could create. And I'm reminded every time I see your face that the
Not a story.
No.
No. Once again, Julia, you failed to grasp the concept of the story song.
God, you are just all over all right. Julia tonight. You just like, this is just a attack Julia. Like, from the moment all we right. got onto this
she
Google
didn't
Hangout
know. She didn't know what to do. She found out she was pregnant. Everybody told her not to have the baby. Then she had the baby, and now it's the greatest thing that ever happened in her life.
Yeah,
how is that not a story?
That's just an occurrence. There's not a plot. People get pregnant, have children, and it's great. Look
well,
at Ryder.
I think the point of I carried that baby.
you,
I think
and you
the point
great.
The point of like there is a narrative component. Like there is, but she's the point of the song is to reach a moment where she can express herself. Like the chorus, I don't know. It's just different than a story song where the point of the story is, or the point of the song is to reach a narrative turn.
Right.
Like that, like I feel like there is a story in the verses, you know, of most songs, you know, you listen to like Brown Eyed Girl and it's like, Yeah, there's, but really, Brown Eyed Girl is, it's there, the story is kind of half-assed to just support la 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 la, right. You know, like, that's what you're really listening to the song for. You're not like, I don't know, well, maybe that's a bad example, because that does have kind of a story element.
Now he I think that...
The Brown Eyed Girl.
I think...
Writer's never evaluating everything.
I feel I'm being abused tonight, and...
Settle down, Julia. You're not being abused. How dare you? No. Settle down, Julia.
No, I mean,
Settle
I think down. That... I don't know. Maybe this is a... this is rough, because, like, for her, and, like, putting it in the context of her musical career, you know, she was huge with the Fugees. Like, again, she's speaking to her
Doesn't
audience.
Matter.
She's
Doesn't
Well,
matter.
listen to what I'm saying. She's speaking to her audience. She's speaking to the producers. It is about the decision whether or not to have her baby, to choose between her baby and her career. And then she chooses, and she's, you know, happy with her decision. Now, the song is really short, so there's not a second verse, but, or there's not a third verse, but it doesn't make it any less of a narrative. It's got beginning, middle, and end. You know, it's just that she rests really hard on her joy with her conclusion. That's a story, guys.
I don't know.
God, this is debatable. I mean, I just, I feel like you, we could say there's a, yeah, I don't know, but maybe we need a much stricter definition of story song then.
Unsure what the balance held, I touch my belly overwhelmed. That's
yeah. That's
setting.
Not a story. That's just an. That's
but
just they, feeling.
But
something.
That could be a poem. But the,
yeah,
like, why
that's
is there
just feeling
like
something.
What's the difference between a poem and a piece of fiction, a narrative, a story? Like you can
plot.
Say right plot. You could say that like that the function is, that there's crossover. There's definitely crossover. Like you could say that there are you know certain short stories that really function as poems. You know, I'm thinking of like micro short stories and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And there are certainly poems that function kind of like short stories. So there's room, but we understand that the point of a poem is different than the point of a short story, right? Like those,
right.
We know that those are terms that are kind of interchangeable and permeable, but we, for the sake of convenience, we distinguish between these genres. I don't think that To Zion falls into the genre of a story song.
No, I don't think so either.
But it has a story element to it.
I think what you
podcast.
Are misunderstanding. What you're misunderstanding, Julia, is
it's
that
been a while since Julia song... quit this podcast. It's been it's almost been like 50 episodes since we've made Julia quit.
In order for this to be a story song, two things have to happen. One, someone needs to die.
Yeah.
And two, someone needs to ponder killing themselves.
Right.
Without those things, it's not a story song.
Here's the thing.
I don't know. I mean, I think you can express yourself and express your emotions from your life and still not have that be a story.
Well, here's the thing, guys. So, you know, the other one that I picked for Sirius, and we don't have to play it because everybody knows the song and many people suggested it, is Fast Car by Tracy Chapman, and that's about being trapped in a small town.
That's a story
and,
song.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a great
yeah.
story
but
song.
But I think
yeah.
that it's a great song. I think that Tracy Chapman's song and Lauryn Hill's song share something in that, you know, for a woman, like being trapped and feeling trapped in your body and that kind of decision is like the biggest decision that you could possibly make. You know what I mean? Whether
but that's
or not to
she's
have an abortion.
But Lauryn Hill is like Lauryn Hill is talking about the like the point of listening to the song is to kind of share in that emotion, not to hear about her decision whether or not to keep the child. Like if
right.
she, like the Fast Car is literally about, like, yes, it's she, it, you could say that Fast Car is about feeling trapped by a poverty of cycle, but she, or a cycle of poverty, but she's not sitting there going, singing a song going, now I've decided I'm gonna, you know, get up and stand up for myself and not be poor ever again. I'm gonna try and do something different with my life. No, she's saying you've got a fast car, and we're going to drive tonight. We're going to get away in your car. That is like a narrative thrust. That is, you know, she's mm-hmm. saying, and then she's describing a series of scenes like, oh, we're doing this. And then we were going over here. And then this happened. And you've been drinking too much. And you've got this kind of job. I'm working as a checkout girl. Like those are narrative components. And you have to sort of, find the thematic point. Whereas Lauryn Hill is just hitting the thematic point. Like I was pregnant. And that's it. Like, once she's pregnant, the song is certain narrative component of the song is kind of over. It's just now she's going to sing about the state of being pregnant and express emotions and be very poetic and maybe, you know, arise emotions in the listener, but that's not the same thing as like telling a story that allows the story to give you the emotion.
There is incidentally a paucity of women on our story song playlist, and this is a playlist that we opened up for the public, and I asked, hey, give us some more songs by women, and there just weren't a ton, because I think a lot of them fall into this strange bad guy on the edge of town type of story. But then there's songs like Brick by Ben Folds Five, which a lot of listeners picked, which is about a woman and a man, but it's sung by a man, and it's about an abortion. And you know, that's a pure story song in that one, but it's also about being trapped in your body and about decisions you make and the bad choices you make. But I wonder what it is about the genre itself where it doesn't seem like as many women are singing these kinds of songs, or maybe it's just that we didn't have the listeners and us didn't pick that many. I don't know. Listeners, if you have great story songs by women, add them to the playlist.
Again, I imagine a lot of them fall into country, which,
yeah.
Which
yeah.
Admittedly, none of
I mean,
us
the Dixie there was, Chicks have like, a know, lot. A lot.
Yeah, Dixie Chicks do a lot.
A bunch of people added Fancy by Reba McEntire and Bobby Gentry, who did it originally, which is a song about a woman who, if memory serves me correct, is a lady of the night.
Oh, yeah.
Or Ode to Billy Joe, or The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia, you know, which are also crime songs. But, you know, I think a song like Brick that everyone seemed to pick, like people on Twitter said it overwhelmingly, oh, Brick by Ben Folds Five, is an unusual story because it's just the most sad and depressing story for everyone involved. It doesn't paint abortion in a good light. It doesn't paint keeping a child in a good light. It just paints a bad situation of people who are in, you know, an untenable situation, which I think is, you know, sort of a good subtextual story to tell. And, you know, I remember seeing Ben Folds Five in concert and people singing along to Brick and thinking, this is a really weird sing-along song. You know, oh, yeah, we're going to go down to the clinic and abort the child song. It's just a... So we'll ride that out today as we leave our story songs. A little bit of Brick by Ben Folds Five to get you guys really happy for your weekend.
And that'll do it for this episode of Literary Disco. Join us in 2 weeks when Jill Alexander Essbaum, author of Hausfrau, and she has picked a poetry collection for us to read, Interrobang by Jessica Piazza. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and thanks for listening.
6 a.m., day after Christmas, I throw some clothes on in the dark. The smell of cold, car seat is freezing, the world is sleeping, I am numb. Up the stairs to her.